Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Proof of Money, The Big Idea Behind Bitcoin is a nonfiction Bitcoin primer and persuasion book by Terence Michael. It is written for readers who may already know the basics of cryptocurrency, but want a clearer explanation of why Bitcoin matters as money, as an asset, and as a financial system, rather than focusing on trading tactics or technical engineering alone. The book argues that Bitcoin should be understood as an alternative monetary model with properties that make it different from conventional assets and from state-managed currency. Its purpose is to reframe Bitcoin in practical terms as a bearer asset, a decentralized network, and a long-term store of value that resists monetary debasement and intermediaries. The book also aims to make Bitcoin legible to newcomers by translating complex ideas into accessible language, while still appealing to more experienced readers who want a concise, argument-driven case for why Bitcoin has broader economic significance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Bitcoin as an alternative money system, rather than just a speculative asset. A central argument of the book is that Bitcoin should be evaluated first as money, not merely as a price chart or investment trade. Terence Michael presents it as an alternate money universe that operates outside the familiar structures of banks, brokers, managers, and central issuers. This framing matters because it changes the standard criteria for judging value. Instead of asking only whether Bitcoin can rise in price, the book asks whether it avoids the weaknesses of conventional money, such as debasement and institutional control. That makes the book less about market hype and more about monetary design. The reasoning is straightforward. If money is the foundation of saving and exchange, then a superior form of money can affect every other financial decision. By centering Bitcoin as money, the book argues for a deeper and more durable case than short-term speculation. Secondly, why Bitcoin is described as a better all-in-one investment. The book repeatedly contrasts Bitcoin with traditional investment categories such as stocks, bonds, and real estate. Its argument is not that those assets have no role, but that Bitcoin combines several desirable traits in a single instrument. It is presented as a full bearer asset, meaning ownership is direct rather than dependent on a custodian or intermediary. It also avoids counterparty risk, centralization, and the layers of permission that often shape access to conventional investments. The logic behind this comparison is that many traditional assets bring hidden frictions management fees, institutional gatekeeping, operational overhead, and exposure to actions taken by third parties. Bitcoin is positioned as a cleaner form of ownership because the holder controls the asset directly. This makes the book especially focused on ownership structure and risk structure, not just expected return. In that sense, it argues that Bitcoin is not only a new asset class, but also a simpler and more transparent one. Thirdly, digital scarcity and the digitization of gold. Another major theme is Bitcoin's relationship to gold. The book treats Bitcoin as a digital version of gold because it can function as a scarce store of value while being easier to move, verify, and divide. This comparison is useful because gold has long been admired for monetary durability, but it is physically cumbersome and costly to transfer. Bitcoin, by contrast, is portrayed as portable, divisible, verifiable, and frictionless. The book uses this contrast to show how digital form can preserve scarcity while improving usability. That is an important analytical move because it explains why Bitcoin is not just another payment app or digital token. Instead, it is framed as a monetary asset with properties that make it suited to long-term storage and global transfer. The book's reasoning implies that digital scarcity can outperform physical scarcity when paired with decentralized verification and universal access. This is one of the clearest examples of how the book translates abstract Bitcoin concepts into a practical monetary analogy. Fourthly, decentralization, permissionlessness, and the removal of financial gatekeepers. The book emphasizes the network design of Bitcoin as much as the asset itself. It describes Bitcoin as the internet of money because it can operate continuously, across borders, without relying on a single administrator. That means transactions are available 24/7 and are not limited by traditional banking hours, geographic restrictions, or institutional approval. The deeper point is that Bitcoin reduces dependence on gatekeepers. No broker is needed to hold it, no manager is needed to approve it, and no central authority can easily alter its rules for selective advantage. This is also why the book highlights permissionless access. Anyone can use the system without asking to be admitted into a financial institution. In practical terms, that gives the book a strong anti-intermediary argument. It suggests that financial systems can be made more open and less hierarchical by using a network where rules are fixed and participation is broad. The book treats this design as one of Bitcoin's most socially significant features. Lastly, Bitcoin as a tool for generational wealth and financial sovereignty. Beyond its technical and investment characteristics, the book presents Bitcoin as a way to preserve wealth over time and protect it from confiscation, manipulation, and monetary erosion. This is where its concept of financial sovereignty becomes most visible. The book argues that because Bitcoin is decentralized and bearer-based, it can give individuals more direct control over their savings than systems built on custodians, banks, or state-issued currency. That control is especially important for people who want to pass wealth across generations, without relying on institutions that can weaken purchasing power. The book also broadens the discussion by suggesting that Bitcoin offers meaningful access to people who are unbanked or excluded from traditional finance. In that respect, the argument is both personal and systemic Bitcoin is useful for protecting individual savings, but it is also presented as a more inclusive monetary tool. The emphasis on generations rather than short-term gains makes the book stand out as a long-horizon argument about money and autonomy. In conclusion, Proof of Money is best suited for readers who want a clear, non-technical case for Bitcoin as money rather than just as an investment trend. Newcomers can use it to understand the main ideas behind scarcity, decentralization, bearer ownership, and why Bitcoin is often compared to digital gold. Readers already familiar with Bitcoin may still find value in its concise structure, its emphasis on the broader monetary argument, instead of narrower trading narratives. The main benefit of the book is conceptual clarity. It organizes familiar Bitcoin themes into a unified explanation of why the system exists and what problem it is meant to solve. Compared with many books in the crypto category, it appears to focus less on jargon, less on speculative market mechanics, and more on the social and financial logic of money itself. That gives it a practical role as an introduction, a refresher, and a persuasive overview for readers who want to think more carefully about wealth preservation, ownership, and financial independence in the Bitcoin era. If you would like to support Terence Michael, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.